Thank you, John. I am very pleased to be with you here today, although it does feel a bit strange, honestly, to be invited somewhere to talk about yourself. It takes a bit of a stretch to decide how you're going to do that. But I'm a reader. I like getting lost in a good story. And I know that... I have a voice that doesn't carry very far, so I'll try and speak right into it so you can hear. Is that better? Is that better? I know that a story has the power to help us live through experiences without actually having to live through them. And I believe that when people share their stories, you get a chance to learn and experience things vicariously through that. And I love the picture that each one of us having a story, they combine into really a masterpiece when you combine all the different things that we've gone through. Each story is different, and each one is valuable, and each one is worth hearing. So thank you for the invitation to come and share my story with you today. It's my hope that you will be encouraged by it. My story is one of faith and faithfulness. I heard the term this week. Somebody said a cradle Christian, and I think that applies to me actually quite well. I grew up into a family that taught me about God's love, and I've always believed it. I never had a time in my life where that wasn't my reality. And I found that in times of trouble, my default was to lean into that faith. So I come from Winnipeg, from what I thought was a perfectly normal family. I had a mom and a dad and a big brother and a little sister. My mom's family is French Catholic, and my dad's family was British Anglican. And mom was a Christian, and dad wasn't, when they got married. They were high school sweethearts. They met in grade 11. And when I came around, my dad had been saved, and they had attended a Bible study that got quite large. And so they split into two groups, and the group that my family was in decided to start a church instead of staying as a Bible study. And so that is actually the home church that I belong to, that my family still belongs to in Winnipeg. And my brother and sister's families are still there. My sister's husband is actually the pastor, and my mom just retired after being the church secretary for decades. So it is very much home and family for me. I mean, I think that's probably one of the early signs of God's faithfulness in my life, just having that opportunity to be raised in a loving church family. And looking back even farther, the way he took my parents, who grew up in two very different traditions, to bring them together into a unified faith so that they could lead their family into worship of the one true God without any conflicts. Mom and Dad celebrate their 50th anniversary next spring. So it's neat to see how his faithfulness in taking two very different people and backgrounds and faiths and joining them together is it's very much a sign of his faithfulness. Camp deserves a mention as being a very important part of my life. I think for my brother and sister and I, that week at camp every summer was the highlight of our year. And as soon as we were able, old enough, we all went on staff and we worked at Dauphin Bible Camp and made lifelong friends. It was actually at camp. I remember one summer when I think I was 10, I really felt God's call on my life. Like he spoke to my heart and called me into serving him. And I told my mom that God's telling me he wants me to be a missionary. And for me, like I thought, this is, overseas. I'm going to go learn another language. And my mom, in her wisdom, she didn't discourage that, but she said that there are lots of different ways to serve God, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be moving off to Africa. In high school, I was a decent student. I played sports. I wrote letters to my camp friends when I was sitting in French class and should have been paying attention. I didn't love high school. It wasn't terrible, but I just wanted to be done with it so I could move on to go to Bible school, which was what I thought was the next great step in the plan. I'm pretty sure that having camp friends and having the whole other side of faith helped me through those high school years, which can often be really hard on teenagers as you're trying to be accepted and figure out who you are. So I'm thankful for God's faithfulness through that. Thankful for a community of friends who believe the same way I do. So after I graduated, I went off to Briarcrest Bible College, just an hour down the road from here, and unknowingly began my transformation into becoming a Saskatchewan girl. I never had any career goals, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew that wherever I was and whatever I was doing, I would be involved in ministry somehow, just because that's who I was and what my passion was. So I figured going to Bible school and getting a degree in Christian ministry, it just made sense to me. I just knew that it felt right, and I loved my 4 years there and all that I learned. There's a verse in Psalms that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And for me, for a long time, that looked like travel. Our high school band and choir went on tour in Europe. We went up through Italy and Austria and Germany, and I was hooked. I just wanted to go everywhere and experience everything. During my 4 years at Briarcrest, I went on 2 missions trips. One was a school trip to England, and there were 6 of us that spent 6 weeks there helping with a church plant. And then a couple of basketball friends and I went on a missions trip to Venezuela. There was hundreds of us, and we formed a whole bunch of different sports teams. And our girls' basketball team, we actually played against the Venezuelan army, the army base, and played against the army team. They played the men's team, the boys' team, and then they're like, okay, now we play the girls' team. So we played. Also there, after the games, we would have a chance to share our testimonies. And so I shared my testimony in front of 300 people through an interpreter. So there's some neat experiences that I've got to have through travel. I've also had the chance to go to Portugal for a family wedding, to Barbados and England again, and then down to California a bunch of times. I was the chaperone on the spring break trips that Youth for Christ did, so that got the travel bug in me satisfied. One of my most amazing trips that I've been on was a month in Kenya. I had won a scholarship. I was taking classes through Cary Theological College and won a scholarship to go. And we spent a month, and there was a team of us, and we got to see Integral Mission in action and through the partner churches there. And Integral Mission is what it looks like when you're meeting people's physical needs and feeding the hungry and looking after people's physical needs and at the same time sharing the gospel, and how that works so much better when it's in tandem. So back to Briarcrest, those years were significant not only for what I was learning, but because it was then that I met Doug McCall's son, Neil. We were freshmen at the same time, and we went on our first date the last week of third year. And then he didn't come back for fourth year. He stayed in Regina here to take piano lessons. Do you remember that? And then he ended up being youth pastor here at First Baptist that year. Now, long distance from Regina to Carriport felt terribly far at the time, but it was probably actually quite good because I could concentrate on my studies, and we still got to see each other just about every week. But we did rack up some pretty good phone bills. We got engaged December that year and married in June, right after I graduated. And from there, we lived at Kitepo Lake Camp, KBK, back then, for 3 summers and the winters in between. Running the camp programs and then teaching snowboarding at Mission Ridge in the winters. And those were the golden years, you know, when you're young and you're broke and you've got your whole world ahead of you. There was a scare in our first year of marriage, and Neil had a couple of spots cut off, and one was found to be cancerous. We took more off that spot, and then yearly health checks became routine, but we didn't worry too much about it because we were, you know, young and invincible. I remember the day after the day surgery where they took out, you know, extra around that spot to make sure that they got it all. He was out on those hills at Mission Ridge because we had a snowboarding training lesson or training course that day. So he had his bandage on his back and he was out there doing what he did. We left the camp to go back to Briarcrest so Neil could finish his last year. And then we moved to Winnipeg. We were ready to start our family, and my sister had just had her first, and so we thought between Winnipeg and Regina, we'd like to be, you know, close to family, one or the other. And so thought we'd be by cousins, Neil wanted to try every job before he looked for a position in ministry, which is where he wanted to end up. So he took different jobs that year, and we ended up having our daughter Madeline when we were living in Winnipeg. My sister's second boy was born just a couple of months before, so we had grown families together, and it was good. And then Neil accepted a position as youth pastor at Western Park Baptist in the Northwest here. And so when Madeline was 1 month old, we said goodbye to Winnipeg and we moved back this way. It seems short now, but I'm glad we had that year of living close to my family. And Madeline has always been very close with those cousins. When God calls you to do something, as he did with Neil and I to West Hill, he gives you what you need to do the job that he asks you to do. It's easy to say that God is faithful and really just mean that life is good right now. It's when you're tested and find that his promises are true that's when you can say from the bottom of your heart that his faithfulness is not only real, but that trusting that is the only way to live. Being youth pastor is a lot about creating fun and crazy events, but it's also walking alongside youth and their families as they navigate through some really hard stuff. So most things that are worthwhile are not easy. But we had a great church family there and definitely felt that God was faithful as we served the youth and their families. Then we faced our first big crisis. We became pregnant with our second child due just after Madeline turned two. So, you know, life as planned, going along. And I had no problems with my first pregnancy, but this one turned out quite different. And our daughter, Lucy, was stillborn at only 5 months. And I honestly don't remember too much from that time. But I remember that we were loved and comforted and fed by our families and our church families. And that God was a very real and present comfort and a bringer of peace in that time. And that he was faithful to be close at all times, not just in the good times. And then came 2 years of dealing with infertility and wondering, well, when are we going to be blessed with another child? But before we'd be up to that, we crashed into something much worse. Neil began having back problems, and after a month and a half of trying, you know, chiropractic massage, and you go to all the different places to try and find relief, we finally ended up taking an ambulance to the hospital to get the tests we needed to get the answers. And we did get answers, but they were the ones that no one ever wants to hear. And the old cancer is back, and had spread, and it had spread a lot. And 6 weeks later, he was gone. We were 30, Madeline was 4. And as I was writing this, I was thinking, how am I going to talk about this without crying? But I scoped out the youth clinics this summer. But I also know that I'm not the only one here today who has lost a spouse. And I bet that you still cry when you remember too, and that it's okay. And you know what? Today is his birthday. When I was first talking to John about coming to speak, I thought that October would be an okay month in the, you know, our schedule of the year. And then I looked at the calendar to see what the actual date was going to be, and I thought, well, of course it's going to be the 26th. It's not a surprise. But he was an amazing man, and the story that he lived in his 30 years, it was crammed on every page with valuing people, and with more living than most people who live two or three times as long as he did. I'm glad that our stories were joined as long as they were. Losing him was devastating. Life looked so different than I thought it was going to be. But you know what? God knew. It wasn't a surprise to him. And while I had to adapt and grieve, he was there as a very real comfort. I remember one time I made a list of all the things that Neil was to me. And then I told God in what I felt like was a pretty bossy way that you need to be all these things to me. And he was. And you know what? God is not scared off by our big emotions. And he's not offended when we talk to him like a child, because that's what he sees us like. He's simply faithful. And he was my protector. And he was my provider. and all those other things on my list. He proved once again that he is faithful and unchanging and good. I ended up on staff at West Hill that next year and was there in a few different roles over the next 7 years. Funny, actually using the education that I got. There was a job that came out of it after all. During that time, I met and married Sean Ward, and when Madeline was 12 and a half, she became a big sister to a little brother, Nolan. So this was a milestone year for both of them, because Madeline graduated from high school this spring, and Nolan started kindergarten this fall. So now we get to start all over. I didn't go back to work after Nolan was born. I chose instead to be a stay-at-home mom. And moms at home often need something to do to fill their time for their own sanity. They also often look for ways that they can help make money at home to help with family finances. I was fortunate to find an outlet that met both of those needs for me. For years, I had been making, you know, those microwave wheat bags that you throw in and they warm up and turn into a little piece of heaven. I'd been making those for every bus driver and piano teacher and coach and teacher. Like, that was just my go-to thing. So I started making those. I did a little research and I started an Etsy shop. Etsy is a global marketplace. People can go online and look for stuff and then they place an order and you pop it in the mail. So I got to stay at home and sew and then ship my goods all around the world. So I added some other products and then different sizes, and I've been doing local markets as well. And it's been really rewarding. I've enjoyed that. I'm glad that we get to serve a creative God and that He encourages us to be creative as well. A few years back, we made a move over to the Apostolic Church here in town. We were in a season of needing to find friends in the same stage of life that we were at. And we were looking for something new for Madeline as well, because she was having a rough time at school and with some not so great friends. And Sean's parents and one of his brother's families were there at the time, so it seemed like a good fit. Things with Madeline became more challenging into those teenage years, and she's okay with me sharing this. We've come through the worst of it, so she's given me permission. We had a really rough couple of years with her. At the beginning of grade 10, she had started on antidepressants after going downhill, and there was some self-harm and some poor choices that led to a trip to the psych ward where she had stayed for just a short time. But having her get connected to the right doctors through that and to be able to start the process of figuring out how to improve things and heal was really good. It's a terrible thing to watch your child suffer and not be able to help them through it. So I'm glad for the doctors that we ended up getting. So after a long year of assessments and meetings, at the end of grade 10, she got a diagnosis of ADHD. So attention deficit hyperactive disorder often goes undiagnosed in girls because they don't have the hyperactive part that boys often do. And then when it is undiagnosed, it often leads to depression. Just because, can you imagine having your brain not work the way it's supposed to, but not really understanding that you're not the same as the person next to you who finds no problem doing the same things? So no wonder it's so hard on kids. So as soon as she started on medication, we could all see an improvement. She had failed her math class that year, and then a few weeks after she started on this medication, took summer school and aced it, no problem. So I remember one Sunday she said to me, "Mom, I just listened to the whole sermon. I don't think I've ever done that before." Just the capacity was so much greater. There were still a lot of other issues to overcome, and she ended up moving out at the beginning of grade 11. She spent grade 11 and 12 years going to my old high school in Winnipeg, living with my sister and her family. She was able to turn around a lot of negatives in her life, and she's doing amazingly well. This year she's spending in a place called the Dream Center in Los Angeles, which is sort of like Souls Harbor here in the city, looking after the poor and people with addictions and serving the community. They also have a leadership program along with the things like that they offer. And so she's there learning scripture and diving into God's word and serving those in need. And she's having a great time exploring Los Angeles with her new friends. She did send me a text this week, though, and tell me that she misses home-cooked meals. The latest big change for us is that with Nolan starting school now, we figured that it was time for me to get back into the workforce. The day that we decided that, I put out a few resumes, and then the next day I just threw some out on the Facebook groups that I'm a part of. One was a mom's group at the church, and just said, hey, I'm starting to look for a job, so if you guys could pray that God would have something awesome for me, that would be great. And then the next day, the next gen pastor at our church, next generation is from birth to 18, so she covers all those areas. She called with a job offer, and I had no idea that there was any openings. So I hadn't been looking for a church job or a ministry job or anything. But now I took the job, and I'm full-time at the Apostolic Church as director of elementary. So I look after the Sunday morning programs and the midweek Awana program, and it's great. My role is flexible, so hours are flexible, but Nolan is only in school half-time, so there's a lot of juggling to get things done. And a pretty steep learning curve with all the everything there being new for me. I keep thinking how easy next year is going to be when I actually know what I'm doing and I actually have time to do it in. But I see this as another example of God's faithfulness in a huge way. I always had a feeling that when it was time for me to go back to work, he would say, here, this is what's next for you. And 48 hours after I decided, okay, I need to look for work, there was here. And it was just perfect for me. And funny, it's using my education and my experiences and my skills. It's like he knows the pages of the book, of the story. I also started a blog earlier this year. And that was a way of trying to get back into ministry. You know, after being so internally focused and looking after my family, I was starting to get the itch that, yeah, but I should be doing something else and sharing God's word somehow. And so both the blog and sewing for my shop have had to kind of move into the background as I get my feet under me in the job. But I see them both as gifts from God and a way to use the talents that he's given me. So I look forward to having both of those have a place as I continue in my story. So let me close today by just saying that he knows. He sees the big picture that we cannot, and life can be so much less stressful and so much more enjoyable if we trust in that. If we have faith in him and trust in his faithfulness to us, because he proves himself over and over.